Have you ever wondered what it would be like to discover your entire life was a lie? Imagine finding out you're not human at all, but a powerful, magical being with royal blood, thrust into a world where everyone either wants to worship you or destroy you. This is the reality for twins Darcy and Tori in Caroline Peckham's The Awakening, the first installment in the wildly popular Zodiac Academy series that has taken book talk by storm. With over 500 million page reads on Kindle Unlimited and a dedicated fan base that calls themselves the Zodiac Cult, this dark fantasy romance has become a cultural phenomenon. Even celebrities like Megan Fox have been spotted with copies, and the series has been optioned for television adaptation. What makes this story so captivating? It's the perfect blend of magic, bullying, forbidden attraction, and the ultimate underdog tale. Darcy and Tori Vega are survivors in every sense of the word. Abandoned by their foster father on their 18th birthday with nothing but a hastily scrawled note, they've been scraping by in the mortal world through a combination of wit, determination, and occasionally petty theft. Living in a rundown apartment in Chicago's South Side, they've mastered the art of stretching every dollar, sharing single meals, working multiple jobs, and learning which bill collectors they can temporarily ignore. Their lives of poverty and constant struggle take a dramatic turn when Professor Orion, a silver-haired man with otherworldly golden eyes, materializes in their tiny apartment with an impossible revelation. They aren't human, but fey, with unawakened powers defined by the celestial bodies above. The twins discover they're changelings, fey babies systematically exchanged with human twins at birth as part of an ancient tradition. Their real parents weren't just any fey, but the Vega family, the wealthiest and most powerful dynasty in Solaria, whose mysterious disappearance 7 years ago left a power vacuum in the magical realm. They can claim their vast inheritance and birthright by enrolling at Zodiac Academy, but only if they can survive its brutal training grounds. Using a strange power called coercion, a form of magical compelling that feels like invisible strings pulling at their minds, Orion forces them to agree before blowing iridescent black stardust in their faces, magically transporting them to a moonlit meadow under a canopy of stars unlike anything they've ever seen on Earth. In this new realm, the social hierarchy is both complex and lethal. The Fae are divided into four major orders, each with distinct powers and feeding requirements. Vampires sustain themselves on blood and magical essence, their hunger growing stronger with their power. Sirens possess the ability to drain and manipulate emotions through skin contact, making even casual touch dangerous. Werewolves transform into massive beasts of varying sizes, their forms reflecting their magical strength. Dragons, perhaps the most feared, must consume gold to regenerate their powers, making them both wealthy and dangerous. Each person's magical abilities are further determined by their zodiac sign and their connection to the four elemental forces: fire, water, earth, and air. While most fey possess only one elemental power, making them singulars, Darcy and Tori's unprecedented command of all four elements marks them as quads, a development that threatens centuries of established power dynamics. What makes Solaria so fascinating is how it serves as a dark mirror to our world's social inequalities, but with immediate and often violent magical consequences. The twins find themselves thrust from one form of poverty to another. Financial destitution replaced by magical inexperience at the bottom of a hierarchy they don't understand. They face prejudice, physical violence, and social isolation simply because of their changeling status and their connection to the mysterious Vegas. Their journey becomes a powerful metaphor for outsiders navigating hostile systems, resonating deeply with readers who have ever felt they didn't belong or faced discrimination based on circumstances beyond their control. In Solaria, every social interaction becomes a potential battlefield where magical ability determines not just status, but survival. The true rulers of Zodiac Academy are the four celestial heirs, gorgeous, powerful, and utterly merciless young men whose family seized control after the twins' parents were murdered. Each commands one element and leads a corresponding house at the academy. Darius Akrux, Fire, House Ignis, Seth Capella, Air, House Air, Max Rigel, Water, House Aqua, and Caleb Altair, Earth, House Terra. From the moment Darcy and Tori arrive, the heirs mark them as targets. During their first encounter in the Orb, the Academy's central gathering place, Caleb pins Tori against a wall and bites into her neck, draining both her blood and newfound magic while everyone watches without intervening. This establishes the brutal reality of their new world. Power is everything, and those who have it can use it however they wish against those who don't. Each heir embodies a different type of cruelty. Darius, a dragon shifter with chestnut hair and dangerous eyes, relies on intimidation and humiliation, forcing Tori to walk naked through House Ignis after her initiation. Seth, with golden curls and blue eyes, presents a false friendly face before betraying Darcy's trust. Max, a siren with coffee dark skin and a mohawk, uses emotional manipulation to extract the twins' deepest fears and insecurities. And Caleb, a vampire with jet black hair, claims Tori as his personal source of magic and blood. What makes these antagonists so compelling is their complexity. Despite their cruelty, each shows glimpses of humanity and depth. Darius reveals vulnerability when discussing his arranged marriage. Caleb displays genuine interest in Tori beyond just feeding from her. This creates a fascinating dynamic where readers simultaneously hate the heirs for their actions while being drawn to understand their motivations. The heirs represent the ultimate enemies-to-lovers trope that has made the series so addictive. They're beautiful monsters, capable of terrible cruelty, yet irresistibly magnetic. Their relationships with the twins evolve from pure antagonism to something far more complicated, blurring the lines between hatred and attraction in ways that keep readers turning pages well into the night. Zodiac Academy isn't your typical magical school. There are no kindly professors guiding new students, no safe spaces to practice magic, and certainly no protection from bullying. Instead, it's a brutal environment where vampire bites, lost limbs, or getting lost in the Wailing Wood won't excuse tardiness. The twins' education is divided between elemental classes, fire, water, earth, and air, and cardinal magic like coercion, the ability to control others' actions. They also attend order enhancement classes to discover whether they belong to a specific fey order. Each class brings new humiliations and dangers as they struggle to control powers they never knew they had. In Fire Elemental class, Tori's magic erupts into a massive flame shooting into the sky, completely depleting her professor's power when she tries to help. In Water class, Professor Washer, a siren, tricks students into embracing him so he can drain their emotional energy. During Werewolf Order enhancement, Seth and his pack transform into enormous wolves, taking the twins for a wild ride before abandoning them deep in the Wailing Wood. Perhaps most disturbing is how the professors enable the abuse. When Professor Orion forces the twins to stand on their desks in Cardinal Magic class, he instructs the entire class to use coercion on them at every opportunity to encourage them to learn shielding. This leads to constant public humiliation as classmates force them to jump up and down and flap your arms like a chicken or bray like a donkey. The educational system at Zodiac Academy serves as a dark reflection of real-world educational inequalities. The twins are expected to catch up on 18 years of magical knowledge with no support system, while simultaneously defending themselves from constant attacks. Their struggle represents the impossible expectations often placed on disadvantaged students thrust into competitive environments without adequate preparation or resources. At the heart of this story is the unbreakable bond between Darcy and Tori Vega, a connection forged through shared trauma and strengthened by their unwavering loyalty to each other. Though identical in appearance, both with bronze skin, full lips, and striking olive green eyes, they're distinguished by Darcy's signature blue-tipped dark hair, a small act of rebellion in their otherwise controlled lives. Their personalities have evolved to complement each other perfectly. Tori embodies the fierce protector, quick to confront threats head-on, while Darcy operates as the careful strategist, always calculating the safest path forward. This dynamic helped them survive countless foster homes, where they learned early that they could only truly rely on each other. The Academy's sorting ceremony forces them to face their first genuine separation since birth. In a moment that defines their different approaches to survival, Tori boldly steps forward to join House Ignis, facing the notoriously harsh Darius. Her parting words to Darcy, "Take air, but don't take any shit," reveal both her protective nature and her understanding that her sister must find her own strength. Darcy's reluctant assignment to House Air, under Seth's leadership, marks a crucial turning point in their relationship, forcing them to develop individual identities while maintaining their core connection. Their separation catalyzes both personal growth and vulnerability. Darcy, always sheltered by Tori's fierce protection, must discover her own courage. This culminates in a defining moment when she defies Seth's authority by leaping from the tower, a death-defying act that proves she can protect herself. Meanwhile, Tori faces her own battles in House Ignis, where Darius's psychological warfare tests her resilience. When he forces her to kneel before the entire house, she maintains her dignity even while complying, showing that true strength sometimes lies in strategic submission. The depth of their connection manifests most powerfully in moments of crisis. When the heirs attempt to drown Tori in the lake, Darcy's visceral reaction transcends mere sisterly concern. "My world slowed with dread as I ran to help, gripping her freezing hand, my own magic surging in response to her distress." Similarly, when Seth humiliates Darcy by cutting off her blue-tipped hair, a symbol of her individuality, Tori's rage is both immediate and calculated. She doesn't just seek revenge, she orchestrates a response that ensures no one will dare touch her sister again. This twin bond provides the emotional foundation of the narrative, offering a rare portrayal of sisterly love that goes beyond simple familial loyalty. In a world where power dynamics constantly shift and alliances prove temporary, their connection remains the one true constant. It's this unshakable faith in each other that enables them to face increasingly dangerous challenges, from navigating complex political alliances to confronting ancient magical threats. Their story resonates deeply with readers because it demonstrates that true strength often comes not from individual power, but from the bonds we forge with others. Beyond the immediate dangers of Academy life, a larger mystery unfolds around the twins' heritage and their parents' deaths. Through mysterious messages from someone called Falling Star, they learn their father was King Hale Vega, the savage king known for cruelty, and their mother tried to protect them by hiding them in the mortal world. The official story claims nymphs murdered their parents, but Falling Star suggests the four houses of the Celestial Council, the heirs' families, were actually responsible. This revelation adds layers of political intrigue to what initially seemed like simple school bullying. The twins aren't just dealing with mean classmates, they're facing the children of those who may have murdered their parents to seize power. The mystery deepens when they discover Falling Star is Professor Astrum, their tarot teacher, who claims to have been friends with their mother. During a clandestine meeting, he warns them about dark magic and suggests Lord Akrux, Darius's father, and Professor Orion are controlling nymphs and were involved in their parents' deaths. This meeting ends tragically when Professor Astrum is murdered, burned by dragonfire, and left with a tarot death card bearing a final message: "The shadow has discovered me, and there is no hope for me to escape their wrath." The answers you seek are hidden between Leo and Libra. Don't trust the flames. Claim your throne. The twins also face a mysterious attacker in an alley who makes a rattling noise that somehow blocks their magic. This shadow seems connected to the larger conspiracy, adding another layer of danger beyond the heir's bullying. These interconnected mysteries transform the story from a simple fish-out-of-water tale into a complex political thriller. The twins must navigate not only the immediate dangers of academy life, but also uncover the truth about their past if they hope to survive. Each revelation raises more questions, keeping readers engaged and theorizing about the larger forces at work. Despite the cruelty and danger the heirs represent, undeniable attraction simmers between them and the twins. These complicated feelings create some of the story's most compelling tension, weaving a dangerous web of desire and distrust that threatens to consume them all. Tori finds herself drawn to both Darius and Caleb despite her better judgment, a situation that fills her with equal parts shame and excitement. When she confronts Darius in his room about missing their tutoring session, their heated argument crackles with sexual tension. The air between them grows thick with unspoken possibilities as his golden eyes lock onto hers, his anger morphing into something far more dangerous. Later, when he transforms into a magnificent golden dragon, she's mesmerized by his beauty and power. Watching him fly sparked something primal in me, not a desire for his throne or kingdom, but for his respect. His wings catch the sunlight like polished bronze, and she finds herself wondering if his scales would feel as warm as they look. Her connection with Caleb proves even more complicated and intense. Though she resents being his source of blood and magic, their bond runs deeper than mere necessity. When they're alone in an empty classroom, their antagonism transforms into passion. Despite knowing I should resist, I found myself responding as he pressed me against a desk, his hands moving beneath my skirt. Their encounters always leave her breathless and confused, torn between desire and self-preservation. During their mandatory feeding sessions, even the act of him drinking her blood becomes charged with intimacy she can't deny. Darcy's relationship with Seth follows an equally treacherous path. Despite his cruelty during her initiation, forcing her to kneel before him in front of the entire school, she finds herself drawn to his mercurial charm and rare moments of vulnerability. When he apologizes and asks for a chance to earn her trust, showing up at her door late one night with genuine remorse in his eyes, she reluctantly agrees. This decision leads to catastrophe when he later humiliates her by cutting off her blue hair as a prank, leaving her to question whether she saw genuine humanity in him or merely what she wanted to see. These dangerous attractions create moral complexity that extends beyond simple physical desire. The twins know the heirs are their enemies who have humiliated and harmed them, yet they can't fully suppress their attraction or deny the occasional glimpses of decency beneath their cruel facades. This internal conflict resonates deeply with readers who have experienced the magnetic pull towards someone they know is bad for them, creating emotional investment in these complicated relationships. The enemies-to-lovers dynamic is masterfully executed, balancing genuine cruelty with moments of vulnerability and connection. Small gestures, a gentle touch during training, an unexpected act of protection, a moment of shared laughter, serve to complicate the twins' feelings further. Rather than romanticizing abuse, the story acknowledges the problematic nature of these attractions while exploring the complex emotions involved. The result is a series of relationships that are as frustrating as they are fascinating, where every interaction carries the weight of both threat and possibility. The enemies-to-lovers dynamic is masterfully executed, balancing genuine cruelty with moments of vulnerability and connection. Small gestures, a gentle touch during training, an unexpected act of protection, a moment of shared laughter, serve to complicate the twins' feelings further. Rather than romanticizing abuse, the story acknowledges the problematic nature of these attractions while exploring the complex emotions involved. The result is a series of relationships that are as frustrating as they are fascinating, where every interaction carries the weight of both threat and possibility. Throughout their ordeal at Zodiac Academy, Darcy and Tori experience moments of profound vulnerability that ultimately reveal their inner strength. These moments of breaking and rebuilding form the emotional heart of their character development. For Darcy, a pivotal moment comes when Seth and his followers force her onto a balcony high on the air tower, giving her an ultimatum: cut off all her hair or jump. Rather than submit to humiliation, she makes a desperate choice, throwing herself over the edge and trusting her untested magic to save her. In that moment of freefall, she discovers her power. A hurricane of energy exploded from my hands, stopping my fall just feet from the ground. Her willingness to risk everything, rather than be broken, becomes her greatest strength. Tori faces her own breaking point when the heirs exploit her fear of drowning, forcing her to jump into the pool and trapping her under ice. As she loses consciousness underwater, she seems truly defeated. Yet even in this moment of absolute vulnerability, she fights to the end, using fire magic to try cracking the ice. Her resilience in the face of her greatest fear demonstrates her indomitable spirit. Both twins are forced to confront painful memories when Max uses his siren powers to extract their deepest fears and traumas. Tori reveals nearly drowning after her ex-boyfriend crashed their car into a river and abandoned her. Darcy shares her fear of being unlovable after every foster family rejected them and a boy took her virginity only to immediately abandon her. These confessions, though coerced, allow readers to understand the depth of their past wounds and the strength it took to survive them. What makes these moments so powerful is how they transform vulnerability into strength. Rather than portraying the twins as unbreakable heroes, the story shows them being genuinely hurt, frightened, and sometimes defeated, yet always finding a way to rise again. This realistic portrayal of resilience makes their journey all the more inspiring and relatable. As the first book concludes, the twins face their darkest moment yet. Professor Astrum, their trusted mentor and sole ally within Zodiac Academy's hostile walls, lies dead in his office, his final breath spent delivering cryptic warnings about ancient prophecies and hidden truths. His murder leaves them adrift in a sea of uncertainty, clutching fragments of information about their parents' deaths and their own disputed birthright. Darcy stands humiliated, her once flowing hair brutally shortened by rival students in a calculated act of psychological warfare, while Tori bears the physical and emotional scars of a near drowning orchestrated by the ruthless heirs. The twins' isolation feels absolute. Every corner of the academy holds potential threats, from the sneering elite students to the seemingly indifferent faculty. Even the ancient stones of the building itself seem to reject their presence, as if sensing they don't belong in this world of celestial privilege. Their fellow students whisper mudblood in corridors, and the heirs, led by the enigmatic Orion, watch their every move with predatory intensity. Yet beneath the surface of their apparent defeat, something stronger stirs. When Tori retrieves the mysterious tarot card from Astrum's cooling fingers, the tower, symbolizing upheaval and revelation, she demonstrates an instinctive understanding that some truths must be fought for. Darcy's refusal to show gratitude to Orion, despite his role in saving Tori, reveals a steel core of principles that no amount of persecution can bend. These small acts of defiance become the foundation of their resistance. Astrum's final command to claim your throne resonates with newfound meaning. What began as mere survival at Zodiac Academy has evolved into something far more significant. The twins, who once dismissed their royal heritage as irrelevant to their modern lives, now recognize it as both shield and sword in their quest for justice. Their birthright isn't just about power, it's about responsibility, truth, and the opportunity to reshape a corrupt system from within. The story concludes with this powerful transformation in perspective. No longer are they simply the outsider Vegas struggling to survive each day. They are heirs to an ancient legacy, armed with growing magical abilities that surprise even their tormentors. Their bond as twins, tested but unbroken, provides strength that their enemies can't comprehend. Years of surviving foster homes and social prejudice have forged them into survivors who know how to endure and adapt. This ending masterfully balances the depths of their current defeat with the heights of their potential triumph. Though bloodied and battered, the twins stand unbowed. Each setback has only hardened their resolve, and each revelation about their past fuels their determination to uncover more. As they begin to embrace their celestial heritage, Darcy and Tori Vega emerge not just as victims fighting back, but as potential catalysts for change in a rigid, hierarchical, magical society that desperately needs reform. Their journey to reclaim their legacy might well reshape the very foundations of the Celestial Order, if they can survive long enough to fulfill their destiny.